Now, in contrast to that, there is the Buddhist doctrine, which is rather psychological than physiological. What is to die is the zeal for life, is the maya commitment. Ignorance is what leads to desire. Desire leads to action. Action leads to deeper ignorance. Ignorance leads to desire. Desire leads to action. How do you get out of this? Well, you can attack it either in the way of attacking desire or action or ignorance. The principal Buddhist way is to attack the ignorance way. But you can also become inactive or control your action, or you can also regulate your desire. Now, I want to talk for about 10 more minutes on the yogas, these different ways of breaking this ring. The first yoga, called Raja Yoga, is the one I spoke of last week, which is really a psychological exercise for extinguishing in yourself these impulses and illuminating the body. I won't go through that anymore. A second order of yoga is called Jnana Yoga, the yoga of knowledge, viveka, of making distinctions. This is philosophical yoga, not the exercise so much as the mental working out and making of distinctions. The basis is this: distinguish between the subject and the object of knowledge and identify yourself with the subject. I am not my body. I know my body. I am not my body. I know my emotions. I am not my emotions. I know my thoughts. I am not my thoughts. You can drive yourself out the back of the room that way and simply identify yourself with the subject. And this is what you get in Sankhya. I am that pure subject of knowledge. And the Buddha goes one step further. The Buddha says, there's no subject of knowledge either. With that, you've gone past anything you can think. Then there comes the great yoga of devotion. This is the only yoga in which a god image is involved. And this will be any one of these gods I've spoken of, and your relationship to the god. And your relationship will be that of, basically, love. Now, there are five orders of love. The first, and simplest, and crudest, and that of most religious attitudes, is of servant to master. O Lord, you are the master, I am your servant. Say what I am to do, and I shall do it. This is the order of the normal religious devotee. Second is the order of friend to friend. In the Christian tradition, this would be the relationship of the apostles to Jesus. In the Indian imagery, it's the relationship of the Pandava brothers, the heroes of the Mahabharata, to Krishna, who was their friend. The third, and this requires a more developed spiritual person to be able to assume this friend-to-friend attitude toward the divinity, the inner companion, the divine friend. The third is the attitude of parent to child, where the God is the child. This is the attitude of the Christian at the Christmas crib, where the divine Lord is being cultivated in you. This is the Lord who's to be born in your heart and to be nourished there and brought to maturity. In the Indian tradition, it's the charming little stories of Krishna as a child, as they call him, the butter thief, that naughty little boy, beloved by everybody. His mother one day was told by a friend, little Krishna has been eating mud. And she goes out and slaps him and opens his mouth to take the mud out and clean his mouth. He played a trick on her. As she was gazing into his mouth, she saw the whole universe there. She didn't know who he had been up to that point. Her hair stood on end. And then he did her another favor. He wiped that recollection out so she should forget it. But the fourth level of love is that of husband for wife and wife for husband. This is the attitude in the Christian tradition of the nun to Jesus. She wears the wedding ring. She's the bride of Christ. And in the Indian tradition, it is the proper attitude of the wife to the husband. He is her Lord, and in her service to him, she is in service to God. With respect to this, I might say that since in the Indian tradition, the divine power is immanent in all things, you don't have to worship an imagined God. Anybody can be it. A woman came to Ramakrishna one time and said, Master, I'm sorry, but I can't love God. I don't. I can't say I do. Well, he says, is there nothing in the world that you love? And she said, I love my little nephew. He says, there you are. In your service to him, you're in the service to God. That matches also Krishna's advice to the cowherds who were singing praises to Indra, the Lord of Thunder. He says, what about the cows? Those are your support. Worship them. So the final order of love, what would that be? We've had servant to master, friend to friend, parent to child, husband to wife. The highest form of love is illegitimate love, illicit love. In marriage, you have the respect of the community. You have a job. You have life. But when you fall in love madly and furiously, so that everything is given up, everything's lost, reputation, everything else for love, that's love. And says Ramakrishna, when you love God that way and everything drops off, you can say, come through now. I've given everything for you. Show yourself to me.